Shalom Havarim. Hello, friends. It's good to be back with you here this Sunday morning or whenever you are watching. I was thinking this morning about falling down. We've all fallen down. Really good chance that you have stepped on something, slipped on some wet pavement or wet flooring. We fall and we're either injured physically or maybe our pride is hurt when people see us fall. But do you know what falls in the winter and never gets hurt? Snow. Yeah, that's right. For some reason, snow is on my mind today, as we here in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia are expecting anywhere between 6 inches and a foot of snow in the next 24 hours. So that is why I am recording this sermon in advance and sending it out to you through email and YouTube. Well, this week I was reading a story, and it included a bit of a modern-day parable, and I thought it seemed appropriate for our message here today. It's a story about a farmer who was looking for some help around the farm, so he put an ad in the local newspaper to hire a hired hand. Well, only one guy showed up, and they went through the normal, routine kind of interview questions. Where have you worked? What is your experience? And finally, the farmer asked the applicant, he said, "What are your qualifications?" And the hired hand said, "Well, I can sleep through a storm." The farmer scratched his head, you know, that's not much of a qualification for a hired hand. I can sleep through a storm. Ooh, good job, huh? But, you know, it was the only guy that applied for the job, so he hired him on the spot. Well, a few days went by, and a big storm brewed up overnight. As the farmer and his wife were sleeping, they were awoken with thunder and lightning, and you know, they were awake all night, not sure what was going on, whether the animals were okay, how the equipment was looking, what damage would be done to their farm and their farm equipment. And early in the morning, first dawn, the farmer runs outside, and he sees that the hired man is over in his lodging place, and he's still sleeping. He's just snoring away, sleeping hard. And he's like, "Oh, man, well, he's right. At least he can sleep through a storm." But then the farmer started looking around and noticing things. He noticed that the windows on the farmhouse and in the barn were all shuttered. He noticed that all the animals were cared for. Everybody had food and water. He noticed that all of the tools and the equipment had been put away from the work before, the night before, safely in their storage units. All the tractors were in the barn. He even noticed that the gutters on the house and on the barn had been cleaned and the water was draining away appropriately. And then he realized that even the wood-burning stove was warm and burning away. It was then that he realized the reason that the hired hand said that he could sleep through a storm was because he was always prepared. He was always prepared for a storm, and that's why he could sleep soundly. Well, here we are expecting these 6 inches to over a foot of snow, and I'm just going to tell you now, if you haven't already, you better get groceries, but it may be a little too late. The other day, my wife was at a grocery store, and she sent me a picture of the salad aisle. Like, there's this big cooler of where they usually would have salad and lettuce, and it was completely wiped out. And I'm like, yes, it must be New Year's resolution and a snowstorm. Why else would people hit up all of the salads? I don't know. Usually what people go for are the bread and the milk. And that always is weird to me because when else does everybody buy up all the bread and milk, but whenever there's a snowstorm coming? And then I always wonder, like, what are they, you know, are they going to make milk sandwiches out of that? Maybe some PB&Js with the milk on the side. I don't know. But we see this happen every time there's a threat, every time something scares us a little bit. Whenever there's a shortage, whenever there's a fear over supply, we tend to gather as much of an item as we can. We saw this a few months ago when there was a supply issue with gasoline. We saw people hoarding gas. They would bring large containers and store it for themselves just to be safe. We saw this at the beginning of the pandemic with items like hand sanitizer and toilet paper. We see it today with things like rapid tests. Whenever things are in short supply, we tend to gather as much of it as we can to keep to ourselves. When there's a fear of scarcity, we tend to hoard things. Now, Scripture has some different ideas about what it means to save and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And I'm talking specifically about saving items, saving goods, saving funds, saving money. For instance, in the book of Exodus, we find the story of Joseph. And Joseph is able to interpret a dream to learn that there's going to be 7 years of abundance. Their crops are going to produce very, very well. And following that, there will be 7 years of famine. So during the 7 years of abundance, Joseph orders the people to save things up, store it away, gather it together. And then when the 7 years of scarcity do arrive, they're able to eat from the grain that's been kept from the previous years. And they have so much that people come from all around. Even Joseph's family comes to him and asks for some of this stored food. But then we jump to the New Testament. And we find these stories like Jesus saying, don't store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust can eat away and decay and rust these things. But instead, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. And in Luke's gospel, it's the only place we find the story. In Luke's gospel, there's a story of a person that's referred to as the rich fool. The rich fool has this wonderful crop 1 year, and he doesn't have enough storage places, units for it. So what does he do? He tears down his barns and builds bigger barns to store all of the grain that he has so that he can retire early and just live off that one really good bumper crop that he had. And the reason they call him a fool is because he actually dies that night and is never actually able to use all of the food that he stored for all of his years. So I look at these different stories, and storing things and keeping things and saving things isn't necessarily in and of itself depicted as a good or a bad thing. What Scripture shows us, and I believe the point is that storing isn't necessarily bad, but not sharing is. Storing isn't necessarily a bad thing, but hoarding is. Sharing what we have gathered for ourselves is biblical. So this got me thinking about the things that I'm storing and whether I need to try to justify that in my mind, if I'm doing some gymnastics trying to justify that, or if it's actually an acceptable thing for me as a follower of Christ to do. And one of the things that I struggled with was the question of my retirement funds. You know, every month, a little bit of my paycheck goes off to, I don't know who we send it to. I hope we can trust them. But a little bit of my paycheck goes off to a company that is investing this money. And when I retire, I get most of that money, I hope, back. I don't know how it works. I'm too trusting. No, but in all reality, I'm sending money away and I'm storing it for later. Is that bad? Is that wrong? Well, if I store more than I need, or if I don't share from that amount of money, I think that I'm missing the point that yes, that is a challenge. That is an issue. I think about my children's college funds. We also set aside a little money every month for their college funds. Is that a problem? Well, I think that one's actually easier for me to justify because I don't plan to see that money ever myself. The idea is that we don't want them to begin their adult life like behind the eight ball. I know, you know, Mennonites are using pool as a metaphor now, but we don't want them to start their life in this challenging position in extreme debt. And of course, I do think the college system needs to be renovated in some way, but that's not the point. The point is that I am saving for their college, but I'm giving that money to them. So I think that the whole point that I'm trying to make is that it comes down to a question of stewardship. Realistically asking questions about how much you need and not going above and beyond that to store things and save them for yourselves. We have examples in the Bible of where storing is a good thing, where you're able to store and help, just like Joseph does. And then there's also places in the Bible, like the writings of Paul, where he talks about not being a burden on others. And maybe that's one way to justify retirement savings. I'm not looking to be a burden on my family or on others, so I'm saving some for later. But as Christians, we must never hoard to the point that those who have nothing can't have access to the essentials. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we read the story from Paul about the Christians that are gathering for communion, for the Lord's Supper. And they would have a big meal at this time. And the rich people would always be the first ones in line for that meal. And Paul writes that the rich people are there and they're eating more than their fair share. And then the poor people have nothing. It's not even just that the rich people are eating their portion. They're eating more than their portion. And then there's none left for anyone else. I think the point is that when sources are limited, we tend, as human beings, human nature tells us we want to hoard things, we want to keep them to ourselves. We're afraid that there won't be enough to go around. And when we get to that point, that becomes a problem. When sources are limited, we do save, that's okay. But we save and we share from our abundance. The story that I opened with from the hired hand who could sleep through the storm. He couldn't sleep through the storm just because he was a sound sleeper or even because he was a lazy guy. He slept through the storm because he was prepared. And I think that being prepared is good stewardship. So if you haven't gone out yet and gotten your groceries, please do so quick before that snow comes. But if you run out, please know that Christians around the world should be willing to share with you out of their abundance. And I pray that we will share with anybody that we come in contact with who needs as well. All right, friends, that's all for today. Stay warm, stay comfortable, stay safe, and keep caring for one another.